Welcome back to the Cinebros Podcast. We have another debate episode for you today. Luke, Ray, you all will be going at each other today. Would you like to tell the audience what you are debating?
Luke? Yes. So today, me and Ray are going to be debating The Purge, which we're talking about the 2013 original Purge film, not the 2018 film called The First Purge, which is actually the fourth one. That is a lot of numbers, and it can be very confusing for a lot of people when talking about it. But yeah, we're going to be talking about this movie in depth, debating it like our typical debate episodes. I'm not a fan of this movie. And Ray, do you want to tell everybody your thoughts on the movie?
I actually really like this movie, and I'm obviously not going to tell you my reasons why, because I'm going to save that for the debate.
Right. So yeah, Ray is in favor, and I am a naysayer.
All right. This sounds very interesting. The Purge is personally a movie franchise that I really, really like. You know, and initially we were going to do all the Purge movies, but Luke, you ran into a little problem.
I did, Tyler. I did. So I've obviously seen the movie we're going to be talking about today, the original Purge movie, a ton. I mean, 10 or 11 times. It's been a lot. But I was rewatching the other three movies in the series, Anarchy, Election Year, and The First Purge. And I got to say, it had been a while since I'd seen them, and maybe I wasn't in the right headspace or mindset for them before, but I really enjoyed all the movies. To me, all these movies increase in quality on each one. So I do think the first one is the worst one, and I'll talk about that why, obviously, in the debate part of this episode. But yeah, I realized that I couldn't debate against three of these movies because I really enjoyed them. So thankfully, we decided to just talk about the first one today. So yeah.
All right, that sounds great. We're going to get going into the debate. If you have not watched one of our episodes before, let me just break down how the debates will go. We're going to start with both sides giving their opening argument, and then we're going to go into three rounds. The first round is the writing. The second round is the directing. Third round is the acting. And we will end the debate with their closing arguments. And at the end, I will pick a winner. Guys, who wants to start first?
I'll start since I'm defending champion.
Okay, go ahead.
So in my opening argument for The Purge, I'll keep it short and sweet. The Purge is a thriller. I would put it in the genre of thriller because, you know, most of the time while I was watching the movie or while anyone's watching the movie, you're biting your nails or on the edge of your seat. The Purge is more of an interesting movie than just a thriller because of its concept. The Purge seems like such a realistic concept that people even consider that we should have one in real life. I've heard many people say that before. The people in the movie, you know, make the Purge seem as if it's a normal thing. You know, characters in the movie even sometimes put out blue flowers in support of the Purge. You know, who gets the credit for this, but they do a job of making The Purge seem like it's just a normal thing and that it's actually good for society, when in all reality, it kind of seems like a crazy idea. But what makes this movie separated from so many others is because of its interesting concept. And Luke, I'll turn the mic.
All right. Thank you, Ray. So I think we can all agree, and we've discussed it a little bit so far, that The Purge series is a series that we all can find some enjoyment in, right? We all enjoy at least some of the movies in the series. Ray obviously enjoys a little bit more than I do. And while I do give the series a lot of credit in the fact that the concept, like Ray said, is really interesting and an original idea, and there's obviously a ton of social commentary throughout these movies, and the social commentary increases as the films go along, I think, with the first Purge, the 2018 one, having all kinds of social commentary about race and class structure, which a lot of these movies talk about. And it's all done very well, except for this first movie, which takes this awesome concept and puts it on the back burner and instead options to have this movie be set in one house for most of the movie, making it a home invasion thriller / low budget slasher film. And I say low budget because the budget for this movie was under $10 million. And of course, it made all kinds of money. It made that budget back in the first few days it was out in theaters. So, of course, there were sequels, and I'm glad there were sequels that explored this concept better, because if this movie had failed at the box office, we wouldn't have had those great movies that come after it. But this first movie fails in almost every way. Like we said, the concept is very good. Everybody knows that. Everybody, at least if you haven't seen one of these films now in 2020, you know what these movies are about. You know the general concept of these films. And this first movie, again, like I said, options to place all of that on the back burner and not hardly focus on it at all. It's really an afterthought. Once the action of the film starts, it's really not there very much, and it doesn't explore its potential at all. I'm glad the next movies in this series venture away from like a home invasion style. And that's not to say that I don't like home invasion style low budget thriller horror films, which I absolutely love all kinds of slasher films. Slasher is probably my favorite genre of horror. I don't think this is a horror movie, but you know, killers sneaking around in the hallways of a house, you know, kind of a little reminiscent of that. But for this movie, in a dystopian society with an awesome concept and all kinds of social and political commentary, who the writer and the director of this movie, James DeMonaco, is a very smart guy, and he's very good at exploring themes of, like I said, class structure and race and how the wealthy feed off of the poor and take advantage of them and all that kind of stuff. He's very good at exploring all of that. This was his directorial debut, so I guess this was like him trying to get his footing. And he definitely improves in the later films, but this one just seems like they have this awesome idea and they have talented actors, some talented actors. We'll get into the other actors of the movie later. They have all of these assets at their disposal. They're gifted a good movie on a silver platter and it just doesn't deliver. And instead, options for cheap horror thriller elements instead of exploring its deeper themes. And I think that's a failure of the film. So that's my opening argument.
Luke, I'd like to add.
Yeah, go ahead.
Your main argument is that, well, so far, I mean, we're not very far in yet, but so far, one of your arguments is that, you know, it being in the house, you know, when it could have explored so many other things going on, I think that it being in the house serves its purpose because it's going to be like a lot of families going to like to the movies together, and it's going to be mostly like, I don't know, middle class families, and they're a little bit above middle class in the movie, but I think that the people watching the movie, you'd like to put ourselves in those people's situation, like of the characters in the house, you know, what would we have done in that situation? Or, you know, I think that it does a good job of using this movie to use that idea and explore its concept, because I think that they knew in the future they were going to expand to do other things with it.
Okay. I understand what you're saying. But again, we talk about the concept of this movie being so good. That's like the main driving force behind this movie. It's a high concept movie. And sure, I understand what you're saying about the middle class families going to watch this movie. And just because they're trying to pitch this movie to a certain type of demographic doesn't mean it succeeds as a film. Again, it doesn't explore that concept. And yeah, they explore it in the later movies. And you said that they've had a plan for a series from the beginning, but I mean, this is just a massive leap in quality from this movie to the next movie. And sure, they had a series planned out, but how about making the first movie good and exploring that concept to keep people interested? Luckily, the next movie, obviously, and the ones that come after that, obviously do a very good job of what we're talking about. But this first movie, you can't give it credit for pitching it to a particular audience and trying to have it relate to the audience. When they do that, like you said, they do that. They are trying to relate it to the audience and put them in the character's shoes, but they're doing it at the expense of such an awesome concept, and they don't take advantage of it, in my opinion. So that's really all I have to say.
Okay. Well, there are many different ways it could have been done, so we'll just leave it at that.
All right, so we are now going to move into round one, the writing. Luke, since Ray started the opening arguments, would you like to go first?
I would, Tyler. Thank you. So this movie, like we said, essentially when you break it down to its bare-bones structure, it's a home invasion thriller with horror elements. But like Ray said, I agree with him that I'd mainly call this a thriller overall, you know. And it is set in a house, and it follows the Sandin family. And, of course, you got some recognizable actors in here, like Lena Headey from Game of Thrones, who plays Cersei Lannister in that show, plays the mom. And then you've got Ethan Hawke plays the dad, and they're a very wealthy, you know, well-to-do family. Again, Ray mentioned that they're trying to pitch this towards middle-class families, but the main family you follow are very wealthy because he owns a company of home security. They run a home security business, and their house is fortified for the purge with this home security system. And several times in the movie, he talks about, you know, this will be fine. You know, a lot of people have doubts the security system will work against the purge. He's like, we'll be fine. We just need to stay in here. And again, that is a detriment of the script. but you have this awesome concept. And the best part about the next movie, Purge Anarchy, is that it follows, you know, police sergeant who is out in the streets, and it follows all kinds of different characters with branching storylines. And
Luke,
hold on, Ray.
Okay.
So again, placing your movie in this contained setting would work if you weren't trying to have a bigger message like this film is. You're not trying to have social commentary like they are, and they're not, you know, they're trying to have this, then they have this awesome concept at their disposal. So placing the, trapping the characters in this one setting just does not work and does not service the story, in my opinion. And it's a waste of a great concept. And that's one of my least favorite things in a movie, when the concept is wasted. So talking about getting off the concept for a second.
Let me hop in real quick. Your problem, a lot of the people that are watching this movie would have been in the main character's shoes. They would have been in their houses while the purge is going on. They're not going to be out trying to kill people. When I was first watching this movie, I would have been like, okay, this is, I'm glad that it's following this family, because this is the exact kind of position I would have wanted to be in during the purge. I may not have had the security and all that, but I would have been in my house fortified, hiding.
Okay, I see what you're saying. And yeah, it's more realistic that way, because like you said, I mean, follows a family in their house, and it is more realistic for most of the people watching the movie. But a movie's supposed to entertain above anything else. And
okay, but they were trying to make this realistic.
Okay, they're trying to make it realistic, but it's still not as entertaining as it could have been. That is the, if a movie is not entertaining first and foremost, then a lot of times it's failing, unless it's a documentary when it's trying to be educational. And of course, films can have messages. I love social commentary, which the other movies explore very well. And this movie has those in here, but just following a family, while it's more realistic, it'd be much more entertaining to focus on people in the streets and everything else that happens. So, like I said, I have no problem with movies like this that are contained in one setting. Panic Room, David Fincher directed it, Jodie Foster's in it. Great movie. Very suspenseful, mother-daughter trapped in their house when three psychopaths try to break in. That's awesome stuff. You know, they're basically in that panic room the entire time. So I'm fine with movies like this, but a Purge movie that can explore so many social commentary aspects and can just draw the viewer in all these different dystopian ways, and it just doesn't work for this type of film. It can work for other things, but when you have a concept like this and a message like this, that doesn't work for this movie. The fact that the other movies are so much better than this one makes my opinion of this movie worse, because it's like the director didn't really know what to do with this one and was like, I just hope this one does well, and then if it does well, then we'll do better in the sequels, is the mindset that I feel like he had. But anyway, we talked about the concept a lot. I want to get into the characters, which, you know, aside from the concept being wasted and not explored upon very well, I think the characters in this movie are really, really bad for the most part. Now, the family as a whole, they make an important decision in the movie, which is to spare the man who the son had let in that the strangers outside are trying to break into the house to get, right? And that decision to save him, and instead of giving him over, to actually keep him in there and realize that, hey, we're no better than these people outside, is a fine message. I think that's an okay decision. But when you look at the individual characters in the movie, I don't think they learn much, and they're pretty insufferable. You've got essentially every archetype of a character that is just the most cliche thing ever. You know, you got the dad who kind of a jerk, he, you know, runs a corporation, so he's rich and he's kind of a jerk. He doesn't connect much with his family. And of course, I mean, he connects a little bit with them in the next little bit of the movie and gets a little bit of his humanity back, but not much. I mean, we set him up in the beginning as if he's going to have this big character arc. We're like, wow, he's a really flawed guy, so he's going to have a massive change. And he doesn't do much. He wanders around the house a little bit and, you know, defends his family for a little bit and then dies. So spoiler alert, by the way, we're obviously going to talk about spoilers, but yeah, so the dad doesn't have much character. The wife probably has the most character. It's a little I'll give the film a little credit, a sliver of credit, because there's a scene that I think is pretty good with the wife talking to one of their neighbors next door, who's obviously she doesn't like her family very much because she can see that they're rich and she feels like that they are taking money away from the other people in the community. So there's a little bit of animosity set up with the neighbors, which comes back into play later. But for the most part, you know, the wife doesn't get really much attention in this. She, you know, and Lena Headey, great actress, and she's just wasted in this role. We'll talk about the acting later, but the character is very poorly written. You know, they again, like Ethan Hawke, they set up her character. They're like, okay, so typical American housewife who, you know, is a little bit in favor of the purge, and they kind of talk about that, but it's just the way that her character doesn't learn anything. At least Ethan Hawke's character has a little bit of an arc. She doesn't really do anything. In fact, her last big decision at the end is, you know, no more killing tonight, which she didn't want to kill anybody really anyway. And it obviously, she didn't want to kill her neighbors who hate her. In fact, she was shown to be, you know, a little disturbed that the neighbors hate her so much. So if they created her as more of a complex character instead of a static character, then it would have been fine. But it's like they have these talented actors that they waste in these, you know, very thin roles. And people aren't watching Purge movies for the plot. You know, they, most of the audience are trying to see people die because it is a horror thriller film. But I like for a movie to have characters that way, the characters that I can relate to and that are fun to watch and have complex emotions and go through an arc and character, rich character development, because without those things, they're just body counts. And, you know, I mean, again, it's fun to see a high body count in a movie. I'm a gore hound myself. I'm into slasher movies, but, you know, most of those movies don't have very good characters, and this movie is no exception. And of course, we have the worst two characters in the movie, which are both of the children, right? And I say children, even though they're teenagers. In fact, the actors in this movie were both like nearing 20. One of them was in her 20s, and the son was like 18. So, you know, I don't like to trash child acting and bad child performances, which I'll do later. But so I was a little uncomfortable with that. But when I looked up their ages in this movie, I was like, oh, never mind. They're adults. I can trash on them a little bit. But the characters are very irritating to watch. The child is, I mean, tell me you haven't heard the stereotype. The young son is like a gifted prodigy of some sort, you know, very weird, eccentric kid who has these weird devices he works on. And he does weird things, like he's taking his blood pressure while he's sitting at the dinner table. Just a lot of like weird young kid stuff that I've seen in all kinds of movies. A wacky son character who's weird and has gadgets that he uses to spy on people, which makes him not very likable that he's trying to spy on his family members most of the time. And the sister is the worst character in the movie for me. She doesn't really have much of an arc. She has a boyfriend who, the only interesting thing about him is he's played by the lead singer of MKTO, which is a pop group that had a couple songs back in the day. But I mean, that's literally the only thing interesting about that character. All of her character motivations stem from him. And I don't like when movies use characters in a relationship, especially the female, as a plot device instead of a character. You know, you have this, you know, she's been good in other things, this actress, and you have her playing this character that is just so boring in one note, and all of her motivations stem from, my dad doesn't approve of my boyfriend. She has no character growth at all. And again, when the bad stuff is happening at the end of the movie, you're biting your nails because seeing anybody dies is a little suspenseful, but you don't really care if they live or die, really, because they're written so bad and they're so unlikable. I mean, my goodness, this is the family we're supposed to be following, and the characters are written so bad and have no character to them. The best of the four characters is the dad, and his only real character arc is, maybe I shouldn't be a jerk. Maybe I should save this guy who's in danger of getting killed. I mean, come on, that's not very complex. This James DeMonaco is a very good writer, and he's capable of so much more than this.
You're making it less complex than it actually is, though.
No, the screenplay makes it less complex than it actually is, because you have all these complex ideas and it doesn't have any interest in exploring it. They're more concerned with having a slasher movie where you don't care about the characters. It's not just
him deciding that he doesn't want to kill this guy, though. It's actually a lot harder decision than you're making it seem like. Like, you maybe would have thought about sending him back too.
Well, yeah, but I feel like most people in that situation, when this man is, you know, not wanting to be sent out there, and you realize that, and in this family's, listen, Ray, for most people, you're right. This would probably be a hard decision. For this guy who has all kinds of guns and a big security system and stuff, this shouldn't be that hard of a decision.
But he's outnumbered heavily. It's just him and a couple of guns. Like, what do you expect?
Okay, but the people
expect him to be John Rambo?
No, what I expect, Ray, is for this movie to have characters that are better written than that. Listen, I understand that what you're saying about him making a decision. And yeah, you know what? I would venture out on a limb and say that that is a hard decision, because, I mean, it is. It's a hard moral dilemma. And I can see how people in the audience would agree with you. But again, if that is your only piece of character building between the four main characters, then that is really bad. And you take all these cliched characters, and I think all the cliches and problems with the character writing in this movie and not exploring its concept outweigh this one pretty good piece of character decision making. So that's mainly what I have to say with the writing round. I've got a couple. I know this round took a while, but this is the round where I had the most material to talk about, in my opinion. This is the worst. The script is the worst part of the movie for me. Concept is wasted. The characters are written horribly. We can also talk about how, you know, the villains. I understand that there are people in the world who are just pure evil, right? I understand that. But at the same time, that doesn't always make for an interesting villain. I like to see my villains have a little bit of character to them. I'd like to learn a little bit about these guys instead of them just being faces for the villainy that's happening on screen. And we'll talk. I mean, I want to talk about the acting so bad, but I won't. But there's a lot of overacting, and there's a lot of lines in this movie, especially from like the kind of the main villain of the movie. You guys know who I'm talking about. He's in a lot of the promotional material for this movie. Blonde-headed dude who's like the leader of these guys and that want to break into the house and kill the homeless guy that they got in there. And there's so many lines that he delivers that I feel like people think, wow, everything he's saying is so insightful and so real. But it's really one of those things where, you know, you hear the meme where someone's trying to be deep and they're like, we live in a society. It's like they're trying to be, this is the only part in the movie where they're trying to be a little deep, which I appreciate, but they don't succeed at it. And it also doesn't make sense to me that these group of people, this is the one night of the year, they got an entire night to go out. And if they're as evil as they say they are, to go out and kill whoever they want. But for some reason, instead of going and killing all the people they want, they focus all their time on this one random homeless guy. And they spend a lot of time waiting for this dude to be put out of the house. Like, it just doesn't make sense. You want to kill people? He says, just let us purge. Well, go out and purge like you've been doing. Don't spend all of your time waiting outside of this house. Well,
they wanted that guy, though, because he had killed one of their own. You know, it wasn't just, oh, they want this guy because he's poor and because of that, yada, yada, yada. Like, there was motive behind it. It's not just a face that's there.
Okay, but again, I just don't buy that they would spend all this time. I know that he killed one of their own. So, obviously, they would want to get him, but in the movie establishes, they say that, you know, crime is down at, like, 1% and, you know, everything is going well in the country as far as, you know, crime and all kinds of that stuff goes, because everybody has this one night of the year to let out their frustrations. Well, I feel like they are so intent on getting this one guy who did kill one of their own that they're not taking advantage of this horrible, but in, you know, from their perspective, awesome opportunity to go out and purge. So I understand that, Ray, but again, you'd think that they would want to at least kill a couple other people. They kill a couple people and then they go after him, and then they
break into someone's house who has a completely fortified security system and
they break into a family, that's not enough purging for you. Well, listen, this movie is called The Purge. I would like to see a little bit more than that when a large portion of this movie is them waiting outside the house. If you look at the cast list of this movie, this guy is credited as the polite leader. And yeah, he's like super polite. It's really like weird, like just, I mean, and they end up breaking in later on. Just break in. At least give us something exciting. It's not exciting or tension-filled for me, at least.
There's tons of tension during this part while we're waiting on them to break in, because the tension's on the question of whether they should give the poor guy back or not.
I just don't agree. I don't think it wasn't very tension-filled for me. What would have been tension-filled?
Well, for me, your whole argument to me is that there's no tension. Everything's ruined because there's not enough gore and action in the movie. That's basically what I
said. Because that's how they marketed the film, Ray. Again, if they marketed the film as what it really was, which is a home invasion movie,
with this concept in this movie, it's such an interesting concept. You can't spend the entire movie just going around killing, killing, killing. It's not going to happen. The movie gets confusing at that point, and there's plot holes.
Well, the other movies do this well, and we don't have much bad to say about those movies.
The first one set it up for those movies.
not very well. If literally you could take out this entire movie and just start with Purge Anarchy and just retitle that one The Purge, and would have had that. I mean, it's like how I've heard a lot of people say, and I don't agree with this, but I've heard a lot of people say that in the grand scheme of things with the Star Wars prequels, that if you take out The Phantom Menace, you don't really need it. You know, you could base a lot of Star Wars viewing guides that you look up if you want to like watch all the movies in order. Some of them have you skipping the first movie, the first prequel, because they say that, you know, in the grand scheme of things, this movie doesn't totally need to be here. And I feel the same way with this movie. You know, if you look at it, The Purge Anarchy is a perfect kickoff for the series. It feels like an entirely different movie or entirely different type of movie, the right type of movie for this concept. And it just came out a year later. So this movie tried to set it up, but I don't think it did a very good job of it at all. That's all I have to say about the writing. Ray, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to contradict Luke there on almost everything that he said.
You can now.
But we would have been sitting here all night. But I'll just jump into my argument because he did say a lot, and I kind of lost some of the points that I had in my head that I was going to come back with. But the concept in this movie that I was crediting and that Luke seems to feel like they did wrong, you know, that concept is credited to the writers. And, you know, they take a scary and almost insane idea and make it look normal. You know, the characters in the movie, like I said earlier, they even put out blue flowers to show support of the Purge. You know, the characters and the writers make it seem like it's believable. But my favorite thing about this movie is the hidden message in it, behind all the Purge, all the chaos. The message of, it's basically just telling that one person doesn't have more value to their life than the other. And that's obviously the poor man who the kid lets into the house. And by the end, the main characters realize that, you know, if they're going to let these people purge this guy, that it's wrong, you know. And they decide to defend the man, which leads to, you know, some good action scenes later on in the movies. With you have Ethan Hawke going through the house just trying to defend his family. And you even get to see the poor man help the family later on in the movie. And what I think is a great scene whenever he comes and starts shooting the neighbors and helps the family. I like, it's when everything comes full circle in the movie and the message gets across. And we get all the good gory scenes that Luke was wanting. And I like, you know, whenever I saw that scene, the scene I was talking about with the poor guy helping them at the end, I was like, I was pumped up. Like, that's such a good scene. It's like a powerful scene. But at the same time, like, as I'm pumped up, my heart feels warmed that, you know, by this message. It's a good message that, you know, a lot of people today still need to hear. But outside of the message, the concept's still great of this movie. I think it does everything good enough. Luke, you argued about the characters not being written well enough. I think they serve their purpose. They play a snobby rich family who, in this situation, didn't know, you know, they're used to just having security and nothing else happening. But, you know, this could have been any of us in that situation. And I think that showing them in the house, you know, you say like limits the movie when you could be out in the streets showing more stuff going on. But I disagree with that. You know, some people may agree with you. Some people may agree with me. I think it was cool that they were in the house, but I don't know if I really have anything further to add. You talked forever. I didn't have that much written. My main argument was, you know, about the hidden message, you know, the poor versus the rich.
All right. So are you guys done with the writing round?
Yep.
All right. We will now go into round two, the directing. Ray, it's all you.
I'll keep it short and sweet here. I think that the director of this movie does a good job of keeping everything in order. You know, in a movie where it would be easy to get confused or have many plot holes, the director keeps everything right on track. You know, an example that I'll give for this is that, you know, when the Purge is getting ready to start and the family's sitting in the room, they show like a little beep, beep, beep. And then it's like, it shows like the rules for the Purge. You can use only like certain amount of graded weapons or, and you can't kill government officials. And I think this is a great detail that, you know, gives us some context of the Purge, but it's only on the screen just for like a short couple little amount of seconds. And I like this because it's not wasting time doing anything. It's just giving us a good little detail that when, you know, we're not left with any stupid questions or there's any plot holes that people are talking about. This is the small detail, like I said, saves us many questions. In a movie where it's easy to get confused or there could be many plot holes, I think the director does a good job of keeping everything in order, keeping the story mature to this one place, and not letting anybody get confused. And Luke, I'll turn it over.
Okay, thank you, Ray. So the directing round is probably the round that I have the least amount of material for, just because...
Yeah, apparently me too.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say? You know, there's not much, at least for me anyway, to say about the directing. The directing is fine. You know, James DeMonaco, you know, we've come to discover that he's a talented director. This was the first movie he directed, and he also wrote all of these movies. He didn't direct the 2018, the first Purge. Somebody else directed that, but he wrote that movie too. And he's written films in Hollywood since like the 80s. I mean, he's been writing for a long time, but this was the first movie he directed and had like full creative control over. And, you know, the directing's fine. If I had any, you know, he does an okay job, and no one would say that this movie was helmed poorly from a directing standpoint, I don't think. I know that's kind of disappointing to hear about the writing or the directing round, but I don't have a whole lot to say about it. Directing's fine. A couple little
okay, so
things,
just chalk that one up for a dub as me, Tyler. We'll go on.
Hey now. Hey now. Hey, Luke, did you have anything else to add before we just chalk it up for a win for Ray?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a ton else to say.
All right, we will decide if that's an immediate win for Ray in the analysis portion. I will not let you know my decision until then.
Okay.
But moving on to round three, the acting.
Okay, so the acting round. So I don't have as much to say about this one as the writing round, but I still have a decent amount to say. So it won't be just a total snooze fest like the directing round was. So the acting in this movie, for the most part, I don't think is very good. I think that the two leads, I think that Lena Headey and Ethan Hawke, obviously, is the mom and the dad. Everybody knows that they're very gifted actors. You know, Ethan Hawke's an Academy Award nominee. Lena Headey's got all kinds of Emmy nominations for Game of Thrones. So very talented. And they do a good job. They do good jobs in this movie, especially Lena Headey gives a good performance. But I have to be honest, guys. I think that the two children in the movie, and there's four actors in this movie that stand out as pretty bad for me. So you got the two kids. I call them children, but they're teens, close to adults. So the two kids of the family, the leader of the evil Purge people that we talked about, the blonde-headed dude, and the neighbor across the street, the blonde lady who Lena Headey slams her face into a table, which, Ray, I'll give you some credit. That seems pretty cool, where she gets her head slammed into the table.
And you were talking about this earlier. I want to go ahead and add on to the scene where Lena Headey's like, we're not doing any more killing tonight. Yada yada. I really like that scene too. I think that's when I like started to realize, okay, Lena Headey's giving her like a pretty good performance in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not a big fan of that scene, but her performance wasn't any cause of me not liking it. She does a good job. So those two actors are good, but those four that I mentioned, let's start just with the children. The son in the movie, like I said earlier, I didn't want to trash any child actors because I hate doing that. You know, when little kids are in a movie performing it, you know, they're kids. It's okay if they're not like amazing actors and stuff. But so I was a little uncomfortable. But I looked up the guy and I found out that he was about to turn 18 when this was filmed and had been in a bunch of other things. So I don't want to trash the guy, but I feel a little bit more comfortable talking about his performance in a negative way. You know, there's close up shots in the later half of the movie, near the end, especially when the neighbors save them from the Purge people, but then they're like, yeah, we're going to kill you guys. And Lena Headey's freaking out, obviously. Headey or Headey? It's one of those two. I'll just call her Headey.
I said Headey because you said Headey.
Okay, yeah. So I'll just keep calling her that. It sounds good to me. But
I think it is Headey, I think.
Okay, yeah, it's spelled that way, but I didn't know if it was pronounced different. But yeah. But anyway, so her performance, again, in that scene is good. And I got to give credit where credit's due. You know, I don't want to just... I can't trash everything, every performance in this movie when there are some good ones, a decent amount of good ones, but she's doing a good job. But both of the children, there's shots of their faces and it's almost like a stone cold thing. Like you feel like they'd be in more shock where their dad just got shot and then the Purge guy died and then their neighbors come to save them. And then, oh snap, they're going to try to kill us now. There's hardly any emotion on the kids' faces. I think the worst actress in the movie, just worst performance in the movie, is the daughter, which is astounding to me because this actress, I can't think of her name at the moment, but she's been in several other things that I've seen. Like she's in The Crown, which I've watched a few episodes of, and she's really good in that. So I don't know what she was doing here, but her American accent is really bad. She's Australian, and her accent, you know, slips a lot, which, you know, foreign accents for anybody to do are probably hard. But when you see something like Midsommar, where Florence Pugh, who was her, was the same age as this actress when The Purge was filmed, so they're the same age now, does such a amazing American accent, to where Tyler, you told me in the past that you didn't even know that Florence Pugh was British because her American accent was so good.
That is correct. I did not.
Right. So to hear her accent slip so much, it's like every other word comes off as sounding American, and then every other word comes off as sounding Australian. And that, you know, her accent wasn't that good. I don't know if she didn't have a lot of prep time before this role, but she didn't do a very good job. And the scenes between her and her boyfriend, who I mentioned earlier, who the boyfriend is one of the worst characters in the movie, by the way. He's just like, I'm going to kill your dad because he won't let us be together. And everything, she's indifferent, it seems like, to almost everything that's happening because her performance is so dry. Her dad is getting shot at by her boyfriend gets killed. And she's, you know, the lines she's saying are dramatic, but she seems, you know, like it's a minor inconvenience for her because her performance is just so wooden and stale. Again, she's been better in other things, so it's especially disappointing to see her be this bad. The son is not as bad as her, not nearly as bad as her, but a lot of his line delivery and readings are just not very impressive to me. He doesn't come off as a believable child. He comes off as just someone who's insanely quirky and gifted. And I get that that's what the character was supposed to be like in a sense, but he doesn't portray it very well. He's just, you know, just someone who's like, yeah, I'm along for the ride. I'm the son in the family. So since the main actors are doing a good job and I'm playing their son, you should care about me. But no, I mean, he's just very, and he's very creepy at times when he's spying on his mom through the house with those weird things he builds. And he's just, his performance is just really one note to me. It's not as bad as his sister's, which I'm going to go out on a limb and say is really bad, but you know, he's not very good in this movie either. I think the main person I want to talk about in this movie is the Purge leader, obviously, because there's a lot to say about that guy. But I want to talk about the neighbor woman for a minute, the blonde-headed lady who I mentioned back in the writing round had a conversation with Lena Headey. Very passive-aggressive. You can tell this woman hates their family, is very jealous of them, obviously. And so when she comes back, she's got this, like, she doesn't come off as a real person in the scenes where she's doing anything. You know, she doesn't portray someone who's just jealous. She portrays someone who is essentially like a complete psychopath. And I think to portray someone who isn't as fortunate as the main character, as having no depth to them other than I've got a creepy smile that I never break and I'm just going to kill everybody, is could be a little insensitive to people who aren't rich. I mean, I know that's silly and she's a minor character, so maybe not a lot of people thought of that, but that was a glaring issue. I think
her performance was serviceable. Like, you got to think she was just playing the rich neighbor. Like, I think she, when I think rich snobby lady, that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Okay.
I can literally see the smile in my head right now. It's like, it's so big, but it's so fake.
Right. And I think it almost comes off as so fake that, you know, well, it's so, that's, it's really, that's unbelievable. How
they actually are in real life, though. Like, they really do, like, fake like that.
Okay. Well, I don't know if it's as much, too much of a degree as this. You know, I don't know if it's as bad. I mean, she was giving me a slasher killer vibe instead of a, I'm going to kill you because I'm legally allowed to because I'm jealous of you. You know, she just seemed like someone who's, I mean, again, even in scenes where she's being held at gunpoint, she doesn't really break much of that smile. It's almost like in the 1989 Batman movie, how Jack Nicholson has like a permanent smile because of the chemicals that like makes his smile a permanent smile, or his face in a permanent smile. It's kind of like that. Like, and she's a minor character, so it won't be a gripe for a lot of people. But for me, when she's featured kind of heavily near the end of the movie, it's a little distracting for me. But I've talked
she ain't smiling in the end, though.
Well, like, no, like I said, no, you're right. In that last scene, she's not. But up until she gets her face slammed into the table, she got that creepy smile on her. But yeah, Ray, that scene that you mentioned that we've talked about is a good scene. It's probably the only scene in the movie I like, I think. but anyway, yeah. So talking about the children and the neighbor, we talked about them enough. I want to get to the cream of the crop when it comes to strange performances. And it is the young Purge leader, who the credits listed as polite, the polite leader. So I'll just call him polite leader from now on. This actor, I haven't seen him in anything else. Another Australian guy. I don't, this isn't like a you know, American and Australian crossover production. So there's a lot of several Australian actors in the movie. Just kind of a fun note that I found. But yeah, he is, the lines that he is given, I could see them being delivered in like a semi-normal way. And I get that he's supposed to be a psychopath, but I don't know what it is. I think his performance is just so hammy, and he's chewing the scenery. He's trying to chew the scenery so much that to me, it just comes off as funny. I mean, I know it sounds bad, but there are a lot of scenes where, I mean, every time that he's talking close up to the camera, and there's a lot of scenes where it's that, where he's looking, you know, into their house through the camera and he's talking to the Sandons. And it just comes off as funny to me because the guy is taking it so seriously. Like, and I get you want to take your role seriously, but it's to the point to where I just, it comes off as funny sometimes. He talks very eloquently, but it just, his delivery is so funny. I wouldn't even necessarily call it bad. It's just so over the top and so overacted that it just comes off as funny to me, and it kills a lot of tension. So that is an example to me of the acting and performance killing the tension of a scene. And I just, he's just a little ridiculous to me. Now, there are some scenes where he doesn't do too bad of a job, but it's just overall, he's just so strange. I can't help but laugh every time he's on screen. Obviously not when he's murdering someone, I don't laugh, but the scenes where he's just talking to the camera and just hanging out with his Purge buddies, he's just overacting so hard that it's just hard for me not to laugh, and I can't take anything he's saying seriously.
You know, one thing I do like about his character, though, is that he can go from being the way that he is to being, you know, so straightforward, straight killing someone, or like in the scene when he's on the porch talking to Ethan Hawke's character, his friend walks up to him and he's like, just give us the guy already. And then the main villain shoots him right in the head. I think that I like that scene because it shows that he can be, you know, he can be this polite leader, yada, yada, yada. But at the same time, you know, he's still a psychopath and he's still trying to kill you.
Well, right. And I mean, like I said, there are times he does a pretty good job. But telling you, this isn't a bad performance. It's just there are scenes, there are aspects of it that are just so hammy and over the top that I just can't take it seriously. But I mean, yeah, he does a good job sometimes. But overall, I feel like the acting in this movie ranges from serviceable to really bad in the case of the daughter and the son. And I feel like this, the polite leader, while his performance, you know, no one would just call it outright bad, kills a lot of the tension in the scene. So while he can switch between emotions pretty good, his hamminess just, at least for me and several other people I know, like when I watch this with my friends, we just can't help but laugh whenever he's on the screen talking to the camera. It's just, it sounds like someone trying to be more edgy than they are. And it's just kind of hilarious to me. But anyway, that's all I have to say about the acting. Ray, you go ahead.
I think that the main reason as to why the child acting and some of the acting is, I don't think it's bad. I would call it serviceable, but the reason for this is, I would like to blame it on the low budget, but you know, actors still could have done their jobs. It's what they're getting paid to do, but
right,
they could have had some other better people in there.
Well, I mean, I would blame that
on the budget. Yeah,
they got Ethan Hawke and Lena Headey.
In a movie, you know, with a big star like Ethan Hawke, it can be easy to overlook other performances, but Lena Headey, actually, honestly, I think she gave a better performance than Ethan Hawke in this movie.
I agree. I think so.
She plays her character really well. And some of the scenes, you know, like whenever the people are in the house, you can see that she's scared. You can see her terror and you can see her fear in the scenes. And I actually kind of like the villain in this movie. I think that the way he acts, the politeness kind of just adds some creepiness to his character. I think the guy's just creepy already with the mask. And, you know, so the way he delivers some of his lines makes him even creepier. I could see where you laugh at it, but I find it kind of creepy and weird. He's just a weird villain. That's how villains are supposed to be, creepy, weird. You know, they're designed for the audience to hate.
Well, but I mean, yeah, I agree with you. But, you know, when you talk about this movie trying to portray everything realistically, and for the most part, you know, it's grounded in realism, to have this guy be so over the top and ridiculous is a little bit clashing to me. And like, I like when I will agree with you that whenever he has the mask on, And he's talking, it's a lot more intimidating, but as soon as he takes it off and he's this frat bro looking dude who's just trying so hard to be edgy, it just, I can't take it seriously. You know, I guess that's just differing of opinion, but.
Yeah, but, you know, outside of them, obviously there is Ethan Hawke in this movie, the main character, and I really like when his character comes full circle. I think he comes into his role well. I think he goes from just being this rich, snobby dad to being this cool, I gotta kill these guys and protect my family character. But, you know, the child acting could have been better. That is a little bit of a problem with this movie, but I think they serve their role. They still show terror and fear in some of the scenes, what they're supposed to do. But, you know, I think they're more designed to play off of the Ethan Hawke and Lena Headey's performance. I think that the kids are just there to actually feed the fire of their performance, make their performance better. And I think that Lena Headey and Ethan Hawke overshine all of the bad performances. I've said my piece for the acting. We can go on.
All right. Yeah. Luke, you're good as well?
Yep.
All right. So we are almost done. We are going to launch into their closing arguments. Ray, is it your turn?
I believe, yes.
All right. Ray, go ahead.
So The Purge, you know, like I said before, has a great concept, and I think it is executed well. Luke disagrees with me. I think that this movie sets up more possibilities for future movies. I think that walking out of this movie, the audience is left with some cool questions. Some, you know, when I left the movie, it was a different experience. The whole time for the next couple of weeks, I was thinking, or going around to school asking my friends, hey, man, you know, what if they do a purge? You know, what are you going to do if they do a purge? But I think it raises some cool, interesting questions, and it was a fun theater experience for me. And I think that if you just look at this movie for the concept and for what it is, it's a good, fun, interesting watch. And at the same time, it's a thriller. You'll get to be on the edge of your seat. Luke, I pass the mic.
Thank you, Ray. So, like we've stated, I love, 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 I can't stress how much I love the concept of these movies. And while the concept might be enough for some people to enjoy this movie, for me, it's not. And the fact that the concept is so good kind of takes me away. I just don't think it explores it well. And when I say it doesn't explore it well, that doesn't just mean I want to see more gore and violence out in the streets. No, that's not what I'm saying. You have a concept that's so loaded and packed with political commentary. I mean, if you look at the later films in the series, they do this very well. The marketing for the 2016, the reason it's called Election Years, because it came out in 2016, and that was when the last presidential election was held. And a lot of the marketing for the 2018 Purge movie had, like, you know, make MAGA hats and stuff on there. So, which, you know, that's not going to be for everybody if not everybody's into political commentary. I love it when it's done well. And I think overall, James DeMonaco knows what he wants to say and he does a good job of saying it, except in this movie. It's like in this movie, it's like because of the financial success of this movie, he was able to do all the awesome things and explore everything well in the next movies like he wanted to. It's like he felt like he was obligated to make like a small, low budget, like slasher movie before he could make these awesome dystopian thriller action horror films like he got to later on as the series progressed.
And I think, Luke, that I don't think you appreciate this movie enough, because, you know, to get the other three that we, all three of us do love, you do have to have this first low budget movie that serves its purpose for the franchise.
Okay, but you do need a first film in a franchise, but this movie is not a very good first film. I don't know. And again, it was marketed very well. The marketing for this movie is good. It allowed us to become a series and not just a one-off movie. But for this movie to just be a contained thriller, but to have this awesome concept, I just think that doesn't mesh together. I think if it's going to be a contained thriller, it needs to have a smaller concept, not as high of a concept as this one. I don't have a ton else to say. I think this movie overall is a very disappointing start to a great series. The acting could be a lot better than it is. You have two main performances that are good, but overall, I'm not a huge fan of the performances in this movie. Performance of the polite leader kind of takes away a lot of tension in this movie that is already has a lot of tension in it, and it could have had even more if he wasn't hamming it up so much in his lines. The directing's serviceable, but overall, this movie is very disappointing. The only thing that I can say is I'm glad this exists just because we were allowed to have better films later on. That's really all I have to say.
Okay. And with that, we are going to bring the debate to a close. And now I have to pick a winner.
I don't actually know who's won yet. I'm going to decide as I go.
Oh, okay.
So I need to consider that last round. So moving on into the opening argument, the winner. You both presented your case very well in the opening argument. I'm going to give this one to Ray. And the reason I'm going to give this one to Ray is because I think that Ray's argument is very succinct. It was very short. However, he brought up the good point that this movie brought up in the public discourse, like, huh, this is a really interesting concept. What if this actually happened? And I think it's a very special thing for a movie to break into the public discourse like this. Luke, I thought your argument was very valid. You made claims that it didn't live up to its concept, but I felt like overall Ray just really, really took this opening argument round. In the writing round, Luke, I disagreed with your argument. I really did. I thought that I could have critiqued it if I was one debating you. However, Luke, you have won the writing round.
Thank you, Tyler.
Because, Ray, fortunately, it was just, the writing round wasn't there for you. It wasn't really there. The directing round, neither of you really had much to say on the directing round. I gotta give it to Ray, because Luke, I think even you will admit that you spent most of the directing round, you know, admitting it was serviceable. Like, it wasn't anything special.
Right.
But the acting round, Luke, you swept it. It wasn't even close. Your acting round was very, very good. So now it comes down to the closing argument. All right, I'm winging it here.
Okay.
Tied 2-2. The winner of this debate is Lucas.
Yes. Fine. Okay. Thank you.
Because, Ray, you know, it's a closing argument, and you actually summed up your opening argument very well, and obviously you won the opening argument that round, but felt Luke, he came back in this round and added slightly more to his opening argument, and that gives him the edge.
Okay. Thank you, Tyler.
No problem. I think it's been a good episode, boys. We had a good discussion. If you have enjoyed our podcast episode today, you can follow us on social media at CineBrosP on Twitter, CineBros Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. If you're on Reddit, we have our own subreddit at r/CineBros Podcast. Anyone have anything else to say?
No, I'm good, I think.
Thank you guys for watching or listening. Bye.